Thank you, portfolio committee chairperson as well as honorable members. I'm going to go directly into this presentation, which is about Shobhagalula. And our theme is how best to sustain this intervention, which is deemed as a local solution for transportation. I'm going to touch on seven areas: policy thrust, which is very critical in terms of reminding ourselves of the vision; problem statement, also coming to a common understanding and acknowledgement of the challenges; achievements since we started in Shobhagalula, as well as bicycle manufacturing plant and the value chain. This will also touch on the establishment process of a local industry, and I will unpack some of the job opportunities, which in fact are on a particular document that is being circulated to you. It's a one-pager of a diagram that is being circulated to you. Then we'll talk about how best to sustain this project. I think it's very important to emphasize the policy thrust, because the emphasis and also a matter that is very close to the chairperson's heart is to make sure that we take people out of dependency or on social welfare grants. And this legacy has to be removed, and for us to remove it, we need an integrated development agenda. How we're going to do this, we have to have a foundation of sustainability, which is self-sustaining, in fact, based on the local economies and activities, specifically in underserved or underdeveloped areas. Why we want to do this, we want to address the divide or the gap between first and second economy. And we see this being facilitated or happening by promoting non-motorized or pedestrianization, as well as cycling, in terms of it being a catalyst to address the divide we talk about of first and second economy. More important is about the spatial planning, which has been distorted in terms of apartheid, human settlement structuring. So our spatial development plan is a key intervention, which has to mainstream non-motorized as a key to changing the way things are being done, and also in putting an effective transportation system. And in this regard, we need a demand-responsive intervention together with infrastructure, which is fully responding to human settlement patterns and movements. I think the emphasis is meant to deepen the role of bicycling, as well as upscaling the intervention and advancing some of the areas where we're performing, but at a slower pace. It is also important to acknowledge, as the chairperson has said, to acknowledge the challenge that we're having, which is a common one. And if you look at the picture on the top right, it's mainly reflecting mobility challenges, where rural women and other people are spending most of their productive time collecting resources for basic consumption. And that is one area which we want to improve through our intra-travel or intra-village transportation methods. Again, this will bring them closer to public transport as well as to the basic amenities. We also acknowledge that the challenge of transport in urban area is a growing rate of motorized transport, the rate of congestion, as well as high cost of petrol, and also the issue of underserved areas. Where underserved areas, you do not find any commuter transport. Even scheduled services are not in existence. And in this instance, we want to integrate bicycle transport to the mainstream public transportation system. Here, this slide, I'm trying to indicate various categories of work or job creation that we also think will this project will yield as benefits and outcomes. On the left is about road infrastructure and the maintenance thereof, where local communities being involved in the upgrading and maintenance of that road. Same applies to the issue of new intervention of Shobhagalula. It has to have the manufacturing plant or container or factories and warehouses for production and building of these components. And while you do that, you have to have another facility to maintain, which is part of operations. A quick view on the achievements. Since the start of Shobhagalula, we only distributed 69,000 bicycles. We are aware in terms of the challenges that have indicated, and some of these challenges are around competing priorities. And over the years, our department as well, being national, it also lagged behind in terms of meeting its targets. Some of these targets were very ambitious, but apart from that, we had a number of competing strategic projects. Also, we experienced varying levels of commitment by provinces as well as municipalities. Then the new intervention of increasing the numbers. This is where the bicycle manufacturing industry is coming in through the whole value chain process. Enumerating the issue of the value chain, because what I want you to recognize is that throughout all those steps that you see at bullets, the various job activities, they vary in range, they vary in terms of profession, and most of them are mainly about basic skills which you can get from your unemployed people that were trained either from the FET or further education and training centers. So the value chain, I want us to refer to a page that has been circulated, which has a diagram in terms of how then should we in our minds understand and comprehend the whole manufacturing process, and how then all those stages would translate, and each stage of it has an element and activity of job creation. The first one I want to emphasize is that you have to consider the stage where you have to source or order your raw material. Our bicycles are made of aluminum, and in certain parts of it is steel. You have to source that material from companies. And when you do that, transportation is involved. That is part of logistics. That is a step that has to be undertaken from the raw material supplier to the component manufacturer. That is another side. Transport is involved. Part of your logistics is also critical when you think of professional or career development. Then you have to get to stage two, which is component manufacturer. This is where various components are going to be put together. If we talk rims, if we talk wheels, if we talk frames, if we talk helmets, you'll find that they are even resided in different sizes. It's possible that you do not find, in most instances, all the components of a bicycle from one service provider. That is not what is happening even internationally. You have to source, just like your car parts, you have to source from various manufacturer and supplier. And from that manufacturer of particular component, then you have to move it. That, again, is part of transportation, where part of driving, part of logistics, is also logistical support is involved. Then it goes to another side, which is bicycle manufacturer now. There you are looking at professional bike or bicycle builder. They have to put the frames according to particular specification. While they do that, others have to look at other areas. If they have to look at the rims themselves, they have to consider the rims, the tubes themselves, they have to consider those. But here is a professional bicycle builder who's involved in here. And the part, as I've indicated, he has to source or she has to source the part from a supplier. From there, the builder then it has to go to its assembly plant. And all components will be arriving at assembly plant or at a factory. And that's when now you want somebody to fit, to put your chains, to put your rims, to put your handles and so forth. That is another stage. It has to leave to a distributor, to a wholesaler now. When it leaves that, and even before it leaves that, just a quick example of a job activity is about coding. You have to spray that. Part of that welding is involved throughout. Fitting, certification is involved throughout. Then it has to go to the bicycle distributor. This is a wholesale. To get there, it has to be transported. From there, they have to certify it. They have to do verification in terms of the checks. They have to ride the bicycle. Thereafter, they have to hand it over to the end user. After this stage, which is stage number 7, then you've seen the maintenance. The maintenance, again, you can divide in macro as well as micro level. Macro is mainly commercialization of these bicycles. The macro is where you just say, well, you look at a container, and then the supplier container, the service provider just buys parts, imports parts from the local parts builder, and distributes part of the maintenance. But I want to emphasize here, Chair, that part of the maintenance and operation, it requires serious capital. That's where part of the intervention in terms of DOT will come in to acquire land and subsidize the bicycles. And how we want to do that, we also stagger it. And we'll stagger it, and the long-term vision is to have in 5 years, 10 local bicycle manufacturing plants. I'll come to the request for proposal. A policy proposal which is about what the DG has indicated here. We need to have a fully fledged local manufacturing plant. And what we also need to do while we support this, and also mentioning that part of the challenges that we are facing is in terms of our current procurement method, where you tend to have only a yearly contract, where a service provider cannot even yield enough profit because come second year, he has not even made money to recover the cost or the investment that he has made. It is not sustainable. To change this, then you have to look at a long-term, either 5 years, contract in terms of ensuring that the market, because critical is about the market, creating market, make it attractive, then people know that either 5 years, within 5 years, they will put the investment in terms of infrastructure and overheads and so forth, covering that, thereafter they will have to realize the profit. And how we want to do this is also about concession, build, operate, transfer, including training. Those are some of the interventions. But critical intervention within the transportation planning is mainly to ensure that Shobagalola is being incorporated within the public transport system. While you want to do that, you also want to make sure that the bus subsidy for scholars, this particular provision thereof in terms of funding, that has to go to Shobagalola. It will be for infrastructure, for facilities, for street lighting, for bridges that you talk about, for storage and so forth. The determination will be reflected from the feasibility study that is being undertaken in terms of the costing and the determination of revenue and so forth, as well as legal framework, which will come from that. And what we want to see, we want to have an engagement agreement with the provinces and municipalities. Another matter to emphasize here is mainly to ensure that any ITP integrated transport plans, before they are being approved, they have to have that element of non-motorized. And we are aware that municipalities have bicycle master plans. It's just to incorporate them and they become part of the portion that will be funded from the public transport operation grant. The Road Traffic Management Act is very important in terms of ensuring safety. A chapter thereof needs to be included in terms of a procedural as well as a regulatory mechanism. But we emphasize that public transport action plan must have non-motorized element in it. We'll be finalizing our request for proposals, and this is in relation to the long-term vision of establishing a plant here. The service provider will look at a costing model and also look at areas in terms of where can we attract further revenue. Another element to emphasize is to ensure that the PTIS, Public Transport infrastructure and system grants, as well as your public transport operational grants, including public transport infrastructure, the one that goes to provinces, and your MIG, which is Municipal Infrastructure Grant, including the new program, Shamba Tonge, which is made for provincial road maintenance grant. Portion of that must be set aside to service and to provide infrastructure as well as operations for non-motorized. And what we aim to have is to have a concessional model through private public partnership. In terms of the timeline, the first year we envisage securing land, building infrastructure, and providing necessary equipment and tools. This first year we also going to have a fully built bike or bicycle. That is the first year in terms of attaining the target as well and maintaining the market. The second year of the concession will be saying we need semi-built bicycles. The third year will also be the semi-built bicycles. And the fourth year, that will be having a fully-fledged local manufacturing plant. Well, part of the incentives which one has to emphasize is that we need to have tax breaks. These are part of the rebates that you get when you import material. And DCI, together with SAPS, can facilitate and help this. The element of IPAP, too, in terms of local content, production and support of new and emerging contracts, that's the area we want to leverage on. Also, we want to indicate that we need, in terms of service level agreement, what we want to see as measurable and outcome is the local economic development, job creation, and improvement on poverty alleviation. Also, another process is just to finalize our impact assessment on Chibagabola, which in terms of the preliminary findings is mainly responding to some of the issues we are sharing with ourselves. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Can you have your mic off? Okay. We will now open an opportunity for members to ask questions and make comments. Of the NEC, the ruling party.
Let me start with the bicycle input. In the Northwest, the premier of that province seven years ago said he was going to build a bicycle factory. You know, it's an issue until now in each and every premier's speech. Where is the factory? And I know that, you know, that province has taken steps to engage other people outside of our country. Are you aware of the initiatives taken by that province? They discussed the initiatives with you. Do you know the challenges they have in putting up a bicycle factory? Will that happen? I'm not saying you myself, but I'm just saying, are you engaging them around that project? Because it appears that, you know, since that decision was taken by the premier, and nothing is happening. And I'm looking at the plans you have about you know, putting up a factory in the country in order for this project to kickstart the 4 years. When do they start? Are we starting in 2012? 2013, when do you start? The around the first input, Chair. I don't know whether the technical team has been established already, or whether the technical team is awaiting a decision of the MINMEC, or the technical team is awaiting the decision of the two portfolio committees, education and ourselves, whether the transport department on its own cannot proceed, you know, making preparations for the transfer of that function. It will be difficult for transport to make preparations until the decision is made, or transport can continue make the preparations without involved in the education department, and that includes issues that relate to, you know, what if the if the function is transferred, what would be the first steps, the second step, the third step, until, you know, everything has been finally brought over to transport, including what type of a memorandum of an agreement of understanding, if it has got to be signed, is there a model of that memorandum of understanding? When are we envisaging, you know, all of these steps? When are we envisaging the meeting between the ministers, Council of Ministers? When is that meeting? When is the technical team going to be established? What time frames will it have? You know, all of that. The technical work, the chairperson around. Thanks.
Are there any other questions and comments? Honorable Sagut. Thank you, Chairperson. My question is on the distribution of these bicycles. Do you have any monitoring system to ensure that these bicycles that you distribute all over the country reach the intended people? Then one other thing, you mentioned that you'll have 10 local bicycle manufacturing plants. While you mentioned something like acquiring land. How do you plan to do that? Because even in the Human Settlements Department, the SCA, find it difficult sometimes to get land. My other question is that where exactly are you planning to build this manufacturing plant? Because our understanding of this is that these manufacturing plants must be built in the rural areas, so that we can minimize this migration of people from rural areas to urban areas. We need to create jobs there. And while still on that, why are we talking about importing these bicycles from the first year to the fourth year? Why can't we use that money maybe to manufacture those, to build those manufacturing plants? And after that, our people can do that for themselves. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Manana, followed by Honorable Doug.
No. Thank you very much, Chair. Well, Chair, let's welcome both presentations. And indeed, welcome the short intervention as proposed by the department insofar as Kola Transport is concerned. But Chair, just to flag two things that may be of great assistance in this regard. Look, Chair, I agree and with the DG insofar as the process of awarding and management of Kola Transport being implemented at provincial level. But I think the understanding is that once there are national standards and norms, they will speak to how best the awarding and the monitoring should take place. So there is no problem. The province indeed must have a role to play, but they must be guided by these national standards and norms. And I think that is the emphasis here. You see, Chair, and I'm very happy that the DG has highlighted all these issues, especially the challenges. Indeed, it's saddening that we would sit here and discuss issues of budgetary constraints when education is one of the key priorities of our government. You know, there's something wrong. But as well, you know, when I look at the challenges, one particular one, the safe transportation of scholars to and from school. Chair, indeed, if small bus operators, for instance, in this case where there are huge inconsistencies, in Mpumalanga, for instance, if they get 35 cents, and in another province they get 140, in another they get 70 cents, there can never be any, you know, assurance that indeed these people, because I am certain they link as small bus operators, and therefore they can never, the inconsistencies will definitely affect the safety of scholars, because, and the DG has raised as well the issue of other provinces giving 1 year contract, other 3 months, and all of that. You don't have any security if you are to get a 3 month contract. Now, even if you were to really take the best, the interest of the scholars at heart, but if you don't have long term security, you wouldn't want to go and commit yourself and buy a new bus, even if you really want, and even if you really want to serve your community. So it's all those things that, and it's not as though small bus operators really are doing it intentionally not to upgrade their buses, because I don't think any person or anybody, no man, would want to put the lives of people at risk. But it is the conditions and the circumstances at which they work under that subject them to such things. So, Chair, I'm very happy that the DG has highlighted all these things and the short-term interventions that was indeed the measures, the monitoring issues as well. You know, small bus operators equally must be able to respond to the standards and norms, because I agree there. But there must be standards set that will then cascade down, and provinces must be able to follow those standards and those norms. Indeed, national may not, or the national department may not have an influence insofar as, awarding of tenders. That's the competence of provinces, absolutely. But once there are standards and norms, I repeat, Chair, they will then speak broadly to how provinces should be able to award in terms of broad-based black economic empowerment and all of those things. So let's hope that these short-term interventions, in the absence of the policy itself, would be able to take us forward in the best interest of the pupils and the scholars. Thank you very much.
Honorable Mr.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Manana is saying what I've already noted down, but nevertheless, I'm not going to withdraw. As the Department of Transport, what steps do you take for the transportation of our scholars that are not safe? You know, I'm staying in Eastern Cape. I'm not going to say it's unfortunate for me to stay in that deep rural area where maybe your cars, you can't drive your cars in my area where I was born. It's sad when you see those smallanyana buses, the condition of those smallanyana buses. To me, the Department of Transport doesn't care. If you have submitted your budget, it ends there. You don't care whether the condition of the small buses, how it looks like. You don't care. There is no proper, or else there is no monitoring at all. I'm not going to say what the comrade was saying. I'm not going to repeat that. I was just stressing the monitoring. There is no monitoring. Sometimes those buses are supposed to take 30 scholars. You find out that there are 50 scholars in the bus. What is that? What are you doing as the Department of Transport? Secondly, Chairperson, so their situation is very bad. You are talking of the operating licenses. Where do they get these operating licenses? How? What might they have in order to get those operating licenses? I know you are getting maybe PPP. What is an operating license? If you can clarify further. I'm new here. It's my first day in this committee. How long is the Department of Education is going to manage this scholar transport? You said the provinces of Gauteng, Free State, Limpopo, and Western Cape manage scholar transport. For how long? Thank you, Secretary.
Can you give an opportunity then to the department to respond?
Thank you, Chair. I'll respond to three areas that were posed a question to me. About the new factory in Northwest, as well as when is this factory really going to start? I need to emphasize that what we are coming up here with in terms of the new direction of the DG head of the department is mainly to put a new policy shift in terms of how we operate. This policy shift is going to consolidate all grants that relate to transport. And it will be about your infrastructure grants, it will be about your operational grants. And in amalgamating all these grants, we are saying a portion thereof, which will be determined at a later stage through our engagement process, that very portion is the one that is going to ensure that we continue improving, we continue providing non-motorized operations as well as related facilities, which will comply with safety issues, which will comply with the operations in terms of the procedures and policies, ensuring that while we do that, issue of empowerment, skills development, and capacity building takes place. I also want to indicate that on the issue of how are we going to acquire land, and where should this plant be built? I need to emphasize again that when we look at bicycling and this intervention, it's about number of drivers or sectors that are involved in this. Education is involved. Sports and recreation is involved if we talk about promoting healthy lifestyle. If we talk about also social development, remove our children from train safety to get to into sporting activities, promoting all this, as well as now improving or responding to the Kyoto Protocol of low emission, carbon emissions. There are a number of sectors that are involved. DTI in terms of incentives, environmental affairs. But what I'm emphasizing, in terms of your strategic and spatial planning, local government or municipalities is the sphere where all these issues are happening. Land is mainly in the hands of local municipalities, and through our engagement plan, the municipalities where sites have been identified, strategic sites, in terms of proximity and viability, that's where we have to procure that or brokerage that with the respective local municipalities. And then on the issue of why are we continuing importing, I think I did indicate as part of the challenges that the capacity to manufacture locally does not exist. It's only certain companies, that private companies that specialize in professional cycling as a sport, and they use and procure as well from certain international companies some of the components. What we want to do to reduce or to stop importation is mainly to continue building capacity. Our issue of building capacity is in terms of the staggered approach or incremental approach as indicated. But what you also need to be cognizant of is the technical expertise. Our bicycles have been approved in terms of particular specifications. The technical expertise is what we'll be building from now hands-on while we import parts, not everything as you just said, while we set our house in order. And emphasis on the specification is comply with the safety standards, is comply with international, again, specification of operations, which comply with our SAB standards. Those are some of the issues that we need to build and ensure that by the fourth year, when we have the new plant, the first plant, then all the necessary expertise has been brought in. Hence, I mentioned the issue of consortium, which is part of partnering, and it will be a number of consortiums that will be involved, mainly dominated by local companies. I guess I'll allow my colleague, Mapadela, to respond on the monitoring.
Okay, Madam Chair, based on the question of monitoring, because the question was raised, whether are there any monitoring systems that are in place to ensure that bicycles reaches the intended beneficiaries? Yes, we do have monitoring system. Because if you remember, based on the presentation that was done sometimes at the end of the year, we indicated that this is a process where municipalities go deep into the schools, identify the learners, and once learners have been identified, they'll put that in terms of a business plan, submit to the province, and the province will make a verification, go to the schools and look at verify the distance that learners walk and ensure that those learners meet the minimum requirements. And in this case, we are talking about the household income of the learners, of the parents of the learners, the distance that the learner walk, the age of the learner, and then the gender. All those things are taken into consideration. And once that has been done, the bicycle will be designed according to the specification of the learner, and then it will then be transported directly into the province. And the provincial department of transport are the recipient on behalf of the schools. So in this case, they will sign off the delivery notes to ensure that the bicycles have been received, and the bicycles at a later stage will be donated to the learner. And in this case, the learner himself will have to receive the bicycles at the school. So we do have the monitoring system. And what we normally do is that we ensure that provinces keep that information in their territory, and they also provide the National Department of Transport with the copies of the beneficiaries. So we do have systems in place.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Let me just add on the Sovereign Lula before I come to the scholar transport. I think what we're trying to say now, I think the big economic questions we're trying to answer, and that's part of the IPEP too, we want to create local capacity. The challenge in any industrial development is that you have to first sort out your demand so that you have the numbers. Because you can't, it's like the rail program in South Africa. Unless we have a massive rail investment program, we're not going to create local capacity. because you can't say people not pumping billions to create local rail plans and you don't have a long-term program. It will be expensive and so on. So you first sort out your demand side so that you have the numbers. So our bicycle project, therefore, must answer that first. Now, that's why we're saying, therefore, that we need to make sure that we have some create a captive market on a sustained basis. And how we do that is that we make sure that we almost lock everyone into buying bicycles using our public policy initiatives, like, for example, our public transport subsidies, so that we say we should not only subsidize buses or taxis in the future, but we need to set aside for cycling and non-motorized transport, so that it becomes part of that. Similarly, your public transport infrastructure grant and so on, build the infrastructure so that you have the numbers, the 50,000 orders a year and so on. If you have those numbers, then you can build the plant. If you don't have the numbers, you can't build a plant. It's very simple as that. So I suppose even in the Northwest, that's a challenge, honorable member. Yes, they've identified a need for a plant. But unless you guarantee anyone that would build a plant and manufacture these bicycles, but no one buys them, no one will invest in that kind of plant. So we need to sort out the demand side. And I think what Angel was saying, that's what we're trying to do. To say, let's use our public transport policies and interventions as a base from which we can then order these things. But then the second part is that for us to build that capacity, even if you have the demand, you won't wake up tomorrow and have the technology, the technicians, and the inputs. So you stagger it. You start with importing. But the conditions, let's say you import from the Chinese, you say to them, the condition is that the first phase, yes, we'll import it as fully built, but then we'll stagger and then move from fully built to semi-built. Ultimately, we have a local plan. So that's the step. So you are literally taking their technology and their skills. That's how they've developed their country anyway. They've taken from other people, and then they built their own local capacity. That's why China is where it is now, simply because of that model. So that's basically the transition once you're building local capacity. So I just wanted to say that. In terms of the time frames, I said to the team, I wonder by the end, remember we said we are going to have an investor conference. By the time we go to the investor conference in June, we need to have finalized the model. Because we are going for the concession option. We'll be concessioning to a manufacturer to do these things and so on. So the model must be finalized by the second week of June. So that they present it as one of the projects we're presenting to the investor conference. So the team therefore will be working almost flat out to make sure that they are ready for that. So that at least this process, when you start the new financial year, is up, is running. So 2012 moving forward. Those are the targets which we are setting ourselves. Right. And coming back to the scholar transport issues. Before that, on the plan. You see, it's slightly different to the housing thing in terms of location. A bicycle plant, I suppose, is not you don't need a huge piece of land. And in fact, it's most appropriate for rural, because you just have to identify Inkosi and say, can you donate land? You see what I mean? Can you donate land and you set up that plant? So it's actually much more advantageous for rural development. Because it's not a big piece of land, like it's not a motor manufacturing plant. I suppose you can live with a 10,000 square meter or 20,000 square meter. You can build a proper plant. The plan is that in the next 10 years, at least, let's have plants in each province. Because one of the killers one of the killers will be transport cost. So if you have one plant and then you transport it throughout the country, it defeats the purpose. So let's localize the plant. So in each province, you have a plant which supplies that particular province, and so on. So we see that in the 10-year horizon, and so on. That's what we were thinking of. But all of these things will be finalized and fine-tuned through the model, which we think will be finished by June. Coming to the scholar transport issues, the technical committee, how it's going to be structured is finalized. All what we need is the decision of the of education ministers and MECs to say now they agree that there should be that transfer to transport. And we have been assured, we can't guarantee, because those are officials told us at the meeting of ministers this week on Thursday. So I'm hoping that by that time it will be finalized. And then the steering and the technical committees immediately after that. Because the steering committee needs to involve both us as transport, education, provincial education departments and provincial transport departments. And that's the structure which will drive the process. So that by 2012, it's ready, the short-term interventions and so on. So that's the process. But the framework, we are working on the framework now and how that steering committee is going to work. So we're not waiting for them. All what we're waiting for them is once they finalize that, we just get the names and get the teams to start working. Now the other issues around national standards, I don't think there's a question there. As we said earlier on, there are just no standards at the moment. it's a free for all. I mean, unless we have the standards, which will then guide provinces, the situation is just going to continue the way it is. An operating license basically is a license which is given to public transport operators, whether it's buses or taxis. So we're saying that we need to extend to this, okay? Which will then also then address the question of standards, because then you should determine what kind of a VIT is given an operating license to transport our scholars. Generally, Chair, I think we have tried to answer this question. But I think let me just raise one important issue. And I think we talked about briefly with Kumalo during lunch, during the short break, but also linked to treasure and so on. That the figures are telling, we're starting from a low base. Because why? It was part of the budget of education. So how they calculate transport is not the core business of education. That's why you have such a low baseline. So you need therefore to review that, but without necessarily saying let's stop the process. Let's engage and sort out the baseline, and we think if it's in transport this thing, we'll be able to convince, and I'm sure my colleague from the Fiscal and Financial Commission will agree with us in terms of how we recalculate this thing as part of the budgeting process, because I think it is important that this situation is corrected. There are other issues, of course, which we need to engage with Treasury. I mean, they will argue that this scholar subsidy must be part of your commuter subsidy, and so on. So it becomes part of the pool. Because the very same, almost integrating the scholar transport subsidy to commuter subsidy. I'm not convinced personally that is correct, simply because your scholars are fundamentally different to your normal commuters. Fundamentally different. Your commuters are largely, it's a straight line in many cases in transport terms. It's from an origin to a destination. And it's from home to work. simple. That's how commuting works. We go home to work. Now, scholars is different. It's from village to village, township to township, or township to some suburb. The patterns are completely different. That's the one thing. But the other one is that there are some other responsibilities with scholars. Because if as a parent I surrender my kid to school, I'm assuming that the school assumes parental responsibility. Right? So it's based on the principle that there should not be a time where a young 10-year-old is not under parental guidance. So it moves from me as a parent to a school and as a parental guidance. Now, during the transport transition between home and the transport operator assumes parental responsibility. So it's fundamentally different. So they should understand that. You can't have a situation where a 10-year-old is just hanging in between. There's no parental guidance. So scholar transport is therefore fundamentally different in that way, so from a commuter. So it is actually an inheritance from apartheid that you have our young 10-year-olds moving from home to go to a commuter bus. It's wrong. That's why anywhere in the world you have scholar buses and so on, because someone still assumes parental responsibility. So those are the kinds of debates, but we will debate these things as we move forward. Because I suppose people from transgender will never understand these things. That's not their core. Their core is to add numbers. So I think those are the bigger issues. We concede that there has been a problem of monitoring, and I think this part of this process is what we're going to resolve, and it has been a free-for-all. And in the process there was a lot of wastage. I mean, I'll just say this before I came to the national. I was outside providing consulting on these kinds of things, and we did a study for KwaZulu-Natal, and we found that you can actually achieve more within these limited resources, but because it's not driven by transport especially. Driven by educators. I mean, they don't know how to design a route, you know. So they will have this duplication. But if you have a proper route network, which is designed by a transport planner, I think you can maximize even these limited resources. So that's why it's critical that transport is at the center of this process.
Thank you. I have my own question. As informed by the work that the department has done in the past, it is the Department of Transport that embarked on a national public transport survey, and the report came out in 2003. If we then count years from 2003, 2, 4, 6, 8 years, we are still at a problem identification phase, not an implementation phase. The question that I'm then asking is, why does it take the Department of Transport 8 years to come up with an intervention that responds to that national public transport survey? Because in that survey, the issue of a public transport that is not safe comes out. The issue of long distances that are traveled by commuters, including the scholars, comes out. The issue of an infrastructure that is not integrated
non-accessibility of public facilities, including the school, comes out. Why would then a Department of Transport undertake, spend money to do a survey, come up with a report, and then take 8 years to come up with an intervention strategy that responds to that report? That is the first question. The second question is that we all say that we have learned from the 2010 project. Maybe it has become a political rhetoric, because in practical terms, when we then put intervention strategies, our strategies don't indicate that there's something that we have learned from the 2010 project. What makes me to say that is that in both the presentations, what comes out is what the Department of Transport would do with the National Department, with the Provincial Department of Transport. But sitting where I am sitting, with my background of community development, I can see a number of departments that are required to be part of this project, if we have learned something from the 2010 project. I want to be very, very specific. If you're talking about a child that is from a poor family, you are then talking of a child that would be vulnerable to certain diseases. You therefore require a Department of Health to actually do a profile of the child, so that the Department of Health has then have an input in terms of how the child is looked after between the home and the school, based on the health profile of the child. The second issue is the Department of the Social Development, because also a child that is from a poor family and a vulnerable child is also taken care of by the Department of Social Development. That is the child that becomes a parent if a parent is not able to look after the child, the parenting of the child. The third issue is the issue of around the demand creation. If we're talking about broadening the demand and making sure that if we want to address issues of unemployment and issues of cost and job creation in our country, we would then have to also increase the demand. The first committee that I served in was the Portfolio Committee on Sport and Recreation. Cycling is one of the sporting codes. In then creating a demand for bicycles to be used, you then have to also collaborate with the Department of Sport and Recreation in relation to that department promoting cycling as one of the sporting codes, the mass participation sports that would need to be promoted. And you can't then only look at the facility of manufacturing without looking at the building of the facilities that have got cycling tracks where you want to promote the cycling as a mass participation sport. So the plan of the Department of Sport and Recreation, in as far as the facilities development to encourage cycling in the country as a mass participation sport would have to speak to the plan of the Department of Transport, because the Department of Transport wants to encourage people to use bicycles and also create the demand. The other issue that comes with that is that the response about the land acquisition, to me, doesn't reflect that we are taking a local government seriously. It is as if we will come and tell the local government what to do. It is the local government that owns the land, and it is the local government that coordinates. The district municipality is charged with the responsibility of coordinating the integrated development plan. And to me, the Department of Transport doesn't have the responsibility of acquiring land. It can sensitize the district municipality and collaborate with the district municipality to say, in terms of the presidential poverty nodal point, you are a presidential nodal point. And in terms of the demand, the number of children that are using are supposed to be the beneficiaries in terms of our Shopagalula. You have more, or you are well positioned as a district municipality to actually service three or four municipalities that are of the same nature like you. And therefore, we are asking these the district municipalities to have a regional planning approach. Let me share my experience. I was a deputy mayor of Oak, the district municipality. It is a presidential poverty nodal point. Sisonke is a presidential poverty nodal point. O.R. Tambo is a presidential poverty nodal point. Okay. In terms of accessibility to imports, they are all along the coast. Particularly O.R. and Ugu are next to the Durban port whilst you are importing. But also they are next to the Durban port for distribution. Both ORs are on the N2. So you can distribute west-wide, and you can also distribute inland-wide, N2 and N3. The same would apply to other districts. You would look at how far is Mpumalanga to the distribution hub or the manufacturing hub, which is Johannesburg, and what jobs can be then created between Mpumalanga and Northwest and Limpopo. How are you going to transport? So I am then saying, what has not happened at planning level is to take advantage of an intergovernmental relations framework, which would have helped a coordinated planning. The second issue that we have not taken into consideration in our planning is the centrality of the district municipality in the coordination of planning. I am therefore saying it's a good intervention, but it is an intervention that needs to take into consideration an intergovernmental relations framework horizontally and vertically. Which are the departments that would play a role in making this plan a success? And which are the spheres of government are also important to make this plan a success? And that is what the department should go back and do. Identify other key departments that are important in making this plan a success. And also, the steering committee, for me, that you are talking about, that involves the Department of Transport and the Department of Education, is only there to sort just one thing, the migration of the scholar transport from education to transport. It doesn't deal with the implementation of an intervention. When you come to the implementation of an intervention, you need a steering committee that is composed of more than the Department of Transport and the Department of Education, because you would need other departments to play a role, including the Department of Science and Technology, if you're talking about skills development, and the Department of Higher Education, in terms of the role that will be played by the SET to actually produce technicians that are going to manufacture these bicycles. You'd also need a Department of Minerals, because the bicycle parts are produced from minerals. You use steel, you use iron ore, you use a number of minerals, which you then have to raise the awareness of that department so that it can then begin to talk and engage with the mining industry to ensure that the raw material is secured before the establishment of a manufacturing plant takes place. And also the identification of a pilot manufacturing plant, because we can't establish 10 plants at a go. We will have to pilot. And then piloting would also, the pilot site would also be informed by the accessibility, how you transport the mineral resources from the mining industry to the plant itself. So I am then saying that the plan is good, but it is a plan that needs to be broadened to bring into play other players. And if we are learning from the 2010 process, it also started like this. ISAFA first thought that it was going to run with the 2010 World Cup project without the government playing a key role. And it required a portfolio committee of sport and recreation, that I was sharing at that time, to raise the awareness that, yes, SAFA would say, SAFA, you don't have the money to build the sports facilities that are required. You don't control the police in this country. You will not budget as a sporting code for a health. You will not be able to manage our transport and plan the transport that is required in order for the 2010. Yes, it is a sport related, but you can't, as a sporting coach, think that it's only about sport. It is about the country and the guarantees and the number of departments playing a role, because at that time, ISAFA was even thinking, they don't have to respect immunize our 400 patients because they suffer talking to FIFA. But can suffer come into a country? Which countries will spend our one more resources without recognizing the government in this country? And we are saying the same thing. For Usha Bagalula, yes, we are talking of a bicycle. But we are talking of a bicycle and we are talking of a scholar transport that requires a number of departments to come on board and play their different roles, complementary roles, led by the Department of Transport. That's what we are saying.
No, thanks, Chair. I think those proposals we don't think we can hold them. I mean, they are important. The issue of land and the location. I'm glad you are raising the nodal point as one of the as the option to because you know there's always this problem that when you have a nationally coordinated program in the five provinces, your major urban centers are the winners because they can lobby. I always say if we were to ask me or any of the team who's the municipal manager of Joburg and or the mayor of Joburg and Cape Town will tell you, but because they are able to lobby. And then what then happens is that these projects therefore end up in these major centers. So we need to have a much more different criteria to use for the location. Because I think that's the first point. I mean, the nodal point is the right approach to take. But I think the second one is that the interdepartmental task team. One of the things we might have to look at because there's a approval process for a project to be part of IPEP. Because once it becomes part of IPEP, it then allows us to activate various instruments in government. So we'll look at that and see, and then mobilize all these other departments and make sure that the important departments become part and parcel of this process. I must say there are discussions at the moment with the higher education around FET. For various skills development programs, so we will also include this one as part of this project. I think the Shovalula one, Jefferson, I agree with you. It has the potential of being a catalytic project in many ways, not only for transport, because you look at. You look at the inputs you're talking about, steel and iron ore and so on. We also have, within the sector, was scrapping taxes. And those scrap metals, at the moment, they're just sold to the highest bidder. We can use that as a base for massive for the input in this case. I'm just using one example in our space, and so on. So I'm hoping that the model will assist us in dealing with these integration issues with other departments. But other initiatives within the department. If I were to just think aloud, Jefferson, I mean, we have, unfortunately, they are based in major centers. We have the scrapping agencies at the moment, which are scrapping our taxes. There's an infrastructure there, serious infrastructure. And why can't we use that to extend some of, you know, these things? Because they can smash they smash these engines like nothing. I mean, you look at the engines at the end of the scrapping process. So you have technology which is in the sector used by government at the moment. We can use all of those things. So the modeling is to talk to these things. So the issues of integration, therefore, are important and I can agree with you. The first question, or I take chair is a comment rather than a question about why after 8 years. Because we can defend ourselves and so on. We, as bureaucrats, are good at defending. So I don't think we need to. The fact of the matter is that for that matter, Chair, you know that we have to do a new traffic survey now. For this financial year, we have a budget for that. So we'll do another 2003, which will come with all these alarming figures and so on, and then we don't do anything about them. But I think it is important that we do that, but at the same time, use the information profitably. But there were some positives out of that survey, Chairperson. I think we need to, because if you look at the expenditure in transport, it did increase. It was not only because of the World Cup. I think the country realized the underinvestment in transport through the survey. It did increase. I mean, we saw this massive investment. The recap was finalized after that. The actual allocations and so on. So there, to some degree, people used the stand, but there are areas which were not addressed, like the scholar transport thing. I can't really explain why, because I mean it's a problem. I think Honorable Manana said earlier on. I mean, if we can't provide the necessary tools for our young ones to get education, what kind of a country is that? I mean, we can fail in all other respects, but we can't fail our kids. And so the scholar transport, really, we have to solve this problem. I mean, you just have to drive through N3 just before the Tukela toll gate at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You have 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds walking at N3. And you can see that they'll be walking for the next 6 to 10 kilometers at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, you just see that. Not in some hidden place. In your main arterial entry, just after Tugela from Free State. So you have those kinds of experiences. The team was telling me they visited Eastern Cape, they visited Free State. They saw where this taxi guy said after 2 months, I'm not continuing with this thing. The roads are bad, and then therefore the kids are now walking for 6 to 10 kilometers. We can't continue failing these kids. And this matter, I'm glad that Chairperson, you are elevating this matter of the scholar transport, and we hope that all of us need to do that, because I think we can't continue failing our kids just the way we are now.
The other issue that I want us to look at is that in your presentation, you are talking of a plan to establish a manufacturing plant for bicycles. There is no mention of the establishment of a manufacturing plant for either
a buses that would transport the scholars with the specifications that are determined by the Department of Transport in the same way that the Department of Transport led the discussions about the type of a vehicle that is what South Africa was going to use, the type of a taxi that was going to be used to transport the commuter from home to work. Now, if we reflect on what the taxi industry said, Santaco, during their presentation, they said the taxi recapitalization did not benefit the country in terms of job creation, because the manufacturing aspect of a taxi recapitalization was not made a condition that it should be a car that is manufactured in South Africa and linked to the broad-based black economic empowerment. So your presentation, we are dealing with scholar transport, and scholar transport is not only the Shovaganul. It also includes the manufacturing of either a minibus to transport the child with a different specification, and or a bus to transport a school child with different specifications, because even the Seto Klalagyo Ningal, I find the Seto Klalagyo na umuntum tal. Namaste, lakamba ko Ningal, hafan na lakamba ko na umuntum tal. And also, we should be mindful of the social problem that we have experienced in the country. I issue ye teenage pregnancy in the school cannot necessarily be divorced from a transportation here in Ghana. We have seen many of the school children. Bekala bekibela it takes taking them to school, and ikinele yungan isin ingane ka driver we take. And these things happen in front of our eyes. We know that. So we can then, when planning the scholar transport, turn our eyes away from those issues, because they happen. And they also happen mainly kuma family that are child headed and omdala uyintombazane ufuna noku support laba abancane. And there are many of those families today that have got child headed. We have many child headed families. And you then find the one who is older than others and having to look after them is a girl. And then if kungena manoms and the way of educating the community, nage form of transport, nogu subsidize of transport, you then find lo oyintombazane eseba engena kwezinye izindlela zokuziphilisa ukuze akwazi ukubheka abantwana bakubo. And we know those things is said. Eduze kwa driver weteksi kuhlala intombazane enhle kunawo wonke lawa wesikolo. And loo mntwana ugcine engasasiqedanga isikole. Which is why we are saying even the Department of Social Development should be part of this. But we would want to hear a comment yaga Fiscal and Financial Commission.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. I think most of the issues that have been raised here today are very important issues that, as the Commission, we have actually picked up on a number of forums. I am actually glad that there has been a movement
at least on behalf of the Commission, I must say that I'm actually glad that there has been a movement at least towards finding a location for the function. And that is a very important development in the sense that without a clear location for that function, it's impossible to develop the norms and standards for it. And so this movement towards identifying the proper location for it is a very welcome development that I think is long overdue. And I agree with you fully, Chairperson, that there is a problem with the pace with which we implement some of the decisions that we take as government. And I share the sentiment that if the survey was done in 2003 and on certain of those aspects, which if we really have to take into consideration what are the priorities for this government, and if one of those is education, and it's been a priority ever since this government came into being, if part of those key building blocks to that priority are still, we're still dragging our feet like we're doing with this particular matter, then it's actually a very big problem, because we can't talk about the quality of education and improved outcomes in education if the kids can't get to school, if the kids must go to school in donkey carts. It's a whole range of issues, and I must say that just last week I was actually shocked when I was watching the impact or the implications of a decision that was taken by the Eastern Cape government to cut funding for learner transport, and the result that has actually had on school education and how kids actually must now get to school as a result of that kind of a decision. And that shows the vulnerability of this kind of a program in any budget when the province budget comes under pressure. That is why it is important that as we move forward with this intervention, we also ensure that we are able to protect the money that actually goes into this, as well as identifying and ensuring that we get the correct baseline for this program. It's definitely the baseline is completely out of kilter with what the demand is, and I think it will be important that as you set up the technical team, we will be able as a commission to second somebody from the commission to actually look at what the mandate actually is. And also to look at how we can actually work out to see that as we move into 2012, we are actually correcting the baseline for the program itself. Because in most cases, when the function shifts, you will tend to shift the money because it says fund follow function. So whatever they were putting on it is what you will get. Now, if what they were putting on it is what Mpumalanga is currently putting, then you have a serious problem in Mpumalanga's transport department. So when you design the norms and standards at a national level, you impose them. Somebody talks about a vertical fiscal externality. How do we deal with that? So that creates another problem now. So I think it would be important that, and I'm glad that the chairperson is very steadfast in the position that we need to fast-track the process of the shift, and as a policy decision that must actually happen, let's also try at the same time to look at the financial implications and so that we don't actually get to a situation where we've passed the policy and then suddenly the funding is not there. So that's something that I think as a commission we will basically try and contribute. So, Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity to say this.
The other question, Mina, that I would want to ask is that in your presentation on of the DG, in terms of the hard copy, I'm referring to page 4. but I would think that it is slide number 6, the presentation of the teacher, where you are talking about the funding. You have columns that are indicating the province, then the total budget and the year covered by the budget. You also talk of the source of funding and the number of beneficiaries and the payment mechanism. This does not tell us the number of the affected children so that we would be able to measure whether our intervention is a drop in the ocean. I don't know whether I'm making sense. The number of beneficiaries is opposed to the number of the affected people who are actually supposed to be benefiting. So that then prevents us from making an informed assessment of the impact of our intervention. It would have been better if we were presented with the situation that says, in KwaZulu-Natal, there are so many scholars that need to be transported. That is the need. However, in terms of our budget, we are able to cover so many costs. We need to also intervene now in terms of budget allocation in relation to the needs as well as in relation to the financial, the realistic amount that we give per child. So it's two things. It's the budget in relation to the number of scholars that require the service. And also it is a budget in relation to the amount per scholar. That is what we need to understand in terms of fiscal and financial, so that when we then put our case on the budget review report, we are then informed by our ability to respond to the need and also to respond to the adequacy, so that we don't then say to the people, provide a service, and then the result of that is that this person who is contracted to provide the service is then destroyed because the service is draining our resources, a service provider, instead of developing a service provider. Those are two different things. So then we will then ask, when we engage in future, we should be in a position of saying, in terms of our standards, there are so many children in the Eastern Cape who are supposed to be benefiting from e-scholar transport. But because of the shortage of e-funding, we can then service all of them. That then tells us how short we are in terms of the budget. That is separate from saying, inasmuch as we are servicing those that we are servicing, but we are underfunding them. Because any of the Pelaguma Guma departments, kakhulu kuma-officials, ama-officials ba-chase ama-numbers not equality. Bajabulela ukuthi we are covering ama so many scholars, cause ngokwe service agreement yakho ne-budget yakho uzothola phela mahlalela ibonus ngokuthi nikwazile ne-department yakho uku-provide i-service to 2 million, only to find ukuthi as much as you have covered the 2 million, but kunabanye abantu abebe affected negatively because ubasikwizile ngoba wena ubuchasa ama-numbers.
That's precisely the problem. And the technical committee will have to address that specific question. So if you were to say, let's come back and give you, we won't be able to give you that. We won't be able to tell you, for example, let's say Free State, whether the 5,200 is just Mangawu. So whether it's urban or rural. Why? Because it's not driven by a transport plan, a design of routes, which will say, will disaggregate the numbers and say, these numbers are from this particular district, and they're servicing the schools, and these are the routes they use. You don't have it. Unless you have this process driven by transport professionals who will then do a network plan. And the network plans are the only ones which can give you that kind of information. And so therefore, one of the deliverables of the technical committee is to come back with that, which will be much more scientific. Because I can tell you now, if you disaggregate this, you'll find that it's your main towns, your main urban centers, the numbers. There's a big rural spaces which are not covered at all. So part of what we're therefore we'll be saying is that let's redirecting the resources so that when we start 2012, we're able to say, yes, we have 111,000 kids in the Eastern Cape. These 111, 20,000 are coming from OR Tambo, and these are the communities which are using the service and so on. So you won't have that category you're looking for. Definitely at the moment. The information, as I said, I did that study for KwaZulu-Natal 3 years ago before I came back to that. The whole area between Hlabisa and Hlabialingana, there's no scholar subsidy. That whole area. And if you talk of poverty, if you talk of Unku, it was the entire area up to Sisonke, there was nothing. And then you look at Mlaz alone. The total subsidy there, I think at the time, what is it now? KwaZulu-Natal, which is not much change. It's 29 million, right? Mlaz alone was 15 million 3 years ago. So you can see. So well, more than half of this was in one township. So there's a lot of even much more scary data which is not there, and you can't get it unless that intervention of the technical community to go in and look and break down and disaggregate. Then that will tell us a much more better picture.
That is why we are getting this much deeper into this discussion. It's because you are now the teacher, and I am aware of the work that you were doing when you were still in KZN. That's why you are getting deeper, because if you were not the DG who has worked at that level, you would not be getting the kind of response that we are getting. And I am also able to ask this question because I have served in the local government and been in charge of planning at a district level. That is what informs me, because even at that level, when we wanted a budget to be allocated to planning so that we would then be able to do the household profile and have a database that would then feed into what the transport planners were doing. It was a struggle to get the funding that is specifically focusing on that. And then a lack of understanding a treasure in terms of funding and planning. It is as if with treasury you only fund the implementation, and the implementation does not happen without you having an informed plan, a scientifically informed plan. That is why we are also saying it is important to have a PMU unit at national level, at the Department of Transport, because it is that PMU that would then first set the standards and the policies, and then develop a template for planning to inform both local government and the transport planner. Without that, you cannot achieve the thing. And the resistance from the treasury is more about the implementation of a project. Implementation of a project that has not been funded in terms of planning and then coordination by the department. How do you then arrive at that? I'm asking this question because you are now the DG, and I know how you have been struggling when you were in KZN. And if I was posing this question to a different person, we would be getting different answers. So all that I'm saying is that another important department for this plan to speak to what we want to achieve is the Department of Local Government. Because without that database, the household profile, the distance that is traveled by the child, you can't then plan and know exactly how many people are in need and how you are then going to respond to the needs of those people. So you would be doing a more of a reactive and nice to do, informed by the numbers that we can say we have provided this service to so many, not informed by the need that we are responding to. Then the last question is, you have been supplying these bicycles. What is the lifespan of a bicycle?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'll just go directly to the question. The lifespan of a bike, it depends on a number of issues. So it will talk in terms of the services that are provided on the bike. It will also look at the conditions under which the bicycle has been utilized. But according to the criteria and also the MOU that we sign with provinces and municipalities and beneficiaries, the lifespan of a bike is 5 years. So that will take a learner from grade 6 up until matric if he happens to be at the same school throughout the learning process. Thanks.
What happens then to after 5 years to the bicycle that was provided in terms of recycling and also in terms of
Yeah, Madam Chair, in terms of the agreement that we signed, the bicycles remain the property of the school for that duration. And once that period passes, then the school can decide on what to do with the bicycles.
Konagi problem lab. There is a problem there. If we're talking a reduction of the carbon emissions, we should be having a plan of what happens to the old bicycles. And also, if we are saying the lifespan of a bicycle is 5 years, Nina, I would want to have that confirmed by Department of Science and Technology, which ngempela ngempela the lifespan of a bicycle for 5 years, when the lifespan of a car is 3 years. It's 3 years. Then the bicycles are used in the best roads, the rural roads. So, which was the impact of the bicycles are very durable. Maybe 5 years. Very durable. And but we don't want to, we are not disputing what we are saying, but we would want that confirmed by science and technology. But ngempela ngempela ibhayisikile i-lifespan yalo u 5 years.
But of course, maybe the theoretically is the same. We buy teeth, our kids at home, bicycles, we don't know that.
Nobody put a maintenance on it by the game. It takes you should come at high 4 times a year. And it basically was in Chavangaki. What happens when you are given the bicycle? When they got in a tie in? Rural areas. My brother was a teacher and he used to go to school riding a bicycle and carry me. So I was riding a bicycle, given a lift by my brother who was a teacher in the school that I was schooling in. And there are 3 things as a super a bicycle. He chained the bicycle. He chopped the bicycle and stand on the bicycle. He didn't cry is a bicycle. There is something on the line on the fire. A man who could replace the line on the line. It's something like it's a small thing. Oyithola la kuhamba khona i-chain yebhayisikile. When you open that thing, amagoli amancane mayiphela leyo nto leyo, mushove ibhayisikile alibe lisakwazi ukuhamba, liloza ibhalansi. So ungayilinganisa ngokuthi if you're looking at the car, ungathi idinga wheel alignment or wheel balancing. But in a bicycle, the part that controls that thing, you maintain it regardless. So you replace that thing. If you replace, I look at the Iliakuki bicycle. No man gaba konalizo guiza because he sound the langa paddle, he sound the langa mover, where I put my position. He will alignment it by saying. He will alignment it by saying. And also, each chain, then the bicycle, liyase galphele, lidinga a replacement. So, lelo chain lelo alina lifespan ka 5 years. Ne tire ne chupi bicycle alina lifespan ka 5 years. Lama rim agana lifespan ka 5 years. So, gifuna ke mina ukwazi ukuthi when you have provided a bicycle and it is in a lifespan of 5 years, you also refer to each of nalo ukuthi line lifespan of 5 years, ne ring, ne tie. If we understand ukuthi labantu esibanikeza le bicycle, they are from poverty stricken families.
Madam Chair, I think the question that you have posed is a very difficult one because as I speak, we have got the National Coordinating Committee, a task team of all provinces where we came up with a strategy. and maintenance of the bicycles was one that we try to address. But this function lies directly with the provinces. But when we look at the budgetary constraints that provinces are also facing, both national and the provinces, we fell short in terms of providing that budgetary provision. And the other areas that we wanted to cover for the past 3 years was to set up the bicycle maintenance shop in all the provinces where more than 200 bicycles have been provided. But we have not been able to secure enough funding to establish those bicycle shops. So when it comes to further rollout, those are some of the areas that we are looking at so that we can have the support mechanism. But the other systems that we try to introduce in the provinces, we encouraged the Department of Education also to put the funding to assist the learners who have got those challenges, because we understand that most of the learners that receive bicycles are really coming from poorest of the poor families. They cannot even raise any money to service or refurbish the bicycles whenever it has got a problem. But when we were providing the bicycles for the previous tranche, we also provided a startup kit where we gave a spanner. Those started with 11, 12, 13 spanner that they can use. We also provided the solution and a tube, and a patch, so that the schools can assist the learners whenever they have problems. But those are the challenges that we are facing, Madam Chair.
But so DTI is sitting with 300,000 grants for cooperatives, and they are not effectively able to use that to spend that money. And we are challenged to create jobs. How much does it cost to set up a bicycle maintenance shop? If we have supplied a bicycle outfit, how many bicycle maintenance shops can then be established to maintain such bicycles?
Madam Chair, I don't have the figures with me, but in essence, to set up a bicycle shop, it depends on the number of bicycles that are there. But if we have got 30 bicycles, I'll suppose that we can, because we'll need a container which will cost at the range of 34,000, because it needs to be refurbished, and it also needs to be, we need to provide equipment to fix the bicycles, and we also need to give space. So first here I'll talk about the tires, the rims, the handlebars, the chain, all those smaller things that can easily be used to service the bike. So for a bike, I'll suppose it will take, we can spend around 200 rand per bike to have space for most of the equipment that are easily replaceable for the bike.
Let us look then at the high rate of unemployment. And the grant Yagwa Department of Trade and Industry of setting a cooperative, and then you go to the schools that are beneficiaries and say these schools are linked to this cooperative that is maintaining the bicycles, and this cooperative is funded by the Department of Trade and Industry. Out of the 300,000 grants, they are able to build Ironda Veliabo, Zabezo Sebenzela Kona, and they are able to buy their wheel spinners and all the equipment that they need to maintain the bicycles. And then the funding that you are giving as a maintenance is then helping those people that would have been helped by the Department of Trade and Industry to set up a bicycle maintenance cooperative. And then
five people from the community would have been given jobs. And you tell our communities, which is when you supply this, the bicycles to the beneficiaries, we are also encouraging you to establish a bicycle maintenance cooperative, and you come with the Department of Trade and Industry, with the funding from the Department of Trade and Industry, and the FET for training in terms of skills of how to maintain the bicycle. Don't you think that it provides more jobs? And you are not only taking a funding from your own fiscal, but you are utilizing the funding that is sitting in another department.
Thank you very much. I guess what you want, what you are talking about, is the sense that you want to instill in our youth and the unemployed. Mainly because our first phase of piloting, we were providing this support service from the fiscal, and we realized what is missing is the entrepreneurial skills. So the issue of people thinking outside government and thinking of themselves as businesses. That's what was missing. That's the new sense we're instilling. And one way of driving that quickly is through the partnership with a youth development agency. That is how best we think we can be able to leverage the existence and mainly to ensure, again, while we do that, in terms of the funds that are available, the grants, then they're able to drive that. Because critical is also about ensuring that we do not encourage more migration to the cities because of lack of funds, lack of businesses. And such schemes that we're talking about is what we want to ensure in partnership with DGI and relevant agencies.
And Department of Basic Education is sitting with schools with underutilized classrooms, which they reported about in the beginning of this year, to say people must come up with creative ways of making sure that that space is utilized. And if the bicycles are used by children, it means the underutilized classroom can then become a workshop, not even the container. You don't need to go and buy a container. Use the space that is the classroom that is underutilized. All that we are saying is that go back and improve this the intervention. It still has gaps, and we are giving you until after the election, because we are going to have the break. Then after the budget vote, we will be calling you back. We are having our budget vote on the 1st of June. And then after the budget vote, we will be calling you back to present an improved intervention on scholar transfer, which takes into consideration all the issues that you have raised, but also is also talking not only about the manufacturing of the bicycles, but also the manufacturing of the motorized scholar transport, whether we're going the bus route or we're going the minibus route, but we must have a specific type of a vehicle that would be used in South Africa to transport a child. But we are also saying that the skills level of the drivers, that intervention and the policy and the norms and standards also have to speak to the skills level of the driver of a scholar transport, so that we can arrive at a situation where we say, is it okay to have children driven by drivers that are smoking wunga? Shall we allow them to drive? shall we allow ex-convicts, people that were charged for rape, to drive the children to school? How are we going to ensure that we protect the children and ensure that they are safe while they are being transported from home to school? And also, the police must also say whether the transport is only from home to school, does it take the child to the sports facilities to engage in sports? Because the children who are from rich families are able to participate in sports because their parents are able to take them for practicing in sports. And the children that are from poor families, even if they are talented in sports, they then drop off because they cannot go to the sports facility to practice, and then we lose that talent. So if policy must then tell us, if a child is good in sports, what will then be the relationship between the Department of Sports and the Department of Transport and the Department of Education in ensuring that this child is able to be transported? Can I show you a map here, the South Africa? Here. This is KwaZulu-Natal. And this is the Eastern Cape. Can you see what it? These two are along the coast. Okay. There are four presidential poverty nodal points in this province, and there are five presidential poverty nodal points in this. That means that out of 10 district municipalities in KZN, five are presidential poverty nodal points. Out of 8 district municipalities in the Eastern Cape, 4 of them are presidential poverty nodal points. Food for thought, Guti. If our aim is to reduce poverty, where do we locate the manufacturing plant? Teacher, I'm born in Sanjoguti, now I'm here in South Africa. These two provinces are along the sea, very accessible to the port. Lay KZN, lay Eastern Cape. Out of 10 districts at KZN, out of 5, I'm a presidential poverty nodal point. At Eastern Cape, out of 8, out of 4, I'm a presidential poverty nodal point. If a manufacturing plant, that then means we say, vele kune problem la, ye transport. That's all our transport. And also, our distances are very vast, only in down there. It then presents lava. They're more suitable. It's just, I'm not influencing anything, I'm just saying. If KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape have got many presidential poverty nodal points, but they have an advantage of it. They are along the sea, which means they have the access to the port in terms of importation, the assembling plant. Then go and do your homework. Nanokuthi ikhona ifactory la eKZN eproducer i-iron ore nemanganese, ise-Pretoria. I'm not lobbying.
No. That's fine. Okay. I mean, even if you were lobbying, I mean, that's fine. I mean, that's No. Yeah, correct. But I think also at some stage we need to come and brief you on what is emerging from provinces. They are giving us excellent plans. Again, I must say our people associate me with KwaZulu-Natal, but my province, Manana, we know my province, has not given us. they are giving us strategic projects. They need, and it's very interesting. Very interesting project, and I think at some stage you need to be praised on those. Very interesting. Almost even from Northwest, you know. Really, I mean, you can see that our provinces are really now taking transport seriously. So at some stage, maybe, I don't know whether we invite the provincial portfolios again, like last week or whatever, but it just, maybe those kinds of issues then can come up there also. Is looking at some of the roads, public transport and rail and ports, the strategic positioning of ports and all those sorts of things. But there are other projects which we can look at. I mean, I know, for example, in that region, the whole issue around the airport in what's the area after Pochefstroom, Margate, yes, and so there are projects which I think we need to look in
the freight airport.
The totality of all of these strategic projects and so on.
What minerals are used to produce a bicycle so that we can then also indicate in terms of our knowledge where are those minerals actually are found. You find KwaZulu-Natal is a dominator of all the minerals because the aluminium is in the Richards Bay. And you ask for yourself, you say, Epitamaritzburg, there is Hewlett Aluminium, when do you aluminium lab? Then, lapa, Katorich, gune, iron ore, ne manganese. And those are the things that are used to manufacture e bicycle. We may be short of e rap, but say, Amasate rapa ala e gun. So, kululuku, kui tola ne rap. So, it's all those things. South Africa, must all produce a bicycle in South Africa. I never seen a South Africa pen, as we are now the African continent. No good for whatever name you can call it, I mean, a Yokamba, I'm a bicycle. So, any decision of teaching is cut to Pumile, which the Department of Basic Education in the beginning of the year, you were there in the Lehuta. They presented a report that was saying they are having a challenge, Yama underutilized classrooms. And I was then saying, let's not think of a container, let us think of a classroom that could be used as a bicycle maintenance shop because really nabantwana base schooling. And then the classroom illa is schooling. Then, but also begin to engage the Department of Trade and Industry because in earlier grant got 300,000 that can be used to establish a cooperative that would then maintain AMA bicycles. And think out of the box. And then we are giving you some time to go and improve this intervention and come back to us after a budget vote. We will give you a date after we have our first June. Where we will revisit this in the same way that we revisited what you were presenting about the enterprise development in Santaco to just focus on the enterprise development in local. But also, by the time you come, you should have interacted with the small bus operators and found a role, you could say, what will be their role, and all manufacturing kungabi ukuthi ufocusa kushova kanuna kuphela, ufocusa also in the either a mini bus or a bus but with a distinct specification, all those things. No, we thank you, and we hope that there is going to be a movement now, and we think there is a movement because of the presentation that was made today indicates that there is a direct focus, and all that needs to happen now is to speed up the process and also close the gaps that we are identifying, and we think it's a process that needs us to continuously engage and until we arrive at a situation where we are saying the intervention now is right, we have closed the gap, let us then pilot it. Then the second item on our agenda is the consideration of our, the department can be excused. We don't have the Quran to adopt our conference, but members can have the copy of the
Quran. Yeah, but we don't need one,
we can
actually
adopt the members.
Oh, no.
We can get a member to come and assist us and adopt.
If
you
just
put
it
all around. Yeah, then we can get one member.
Yeah,